Hello, happy new moon, and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot with Cardzy B. This is your host, Cardzy B. If you listen to this podcast, you already know I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I started teaching myself to read tarot when I was in the fifth grade and began practicing on a deeper level the past couple years, including drawing my own deck of 78 badass bitches, which will be for sale online in select stores this October. So stay tuned for fun giveaways and launch events around that. Did you guys have a fab King of Pentacles-tastic first week of September? I love the fall so much. It's my absolute favorite season. I want to order everything pumpkin and overuse the word autumnal. So advance apologies for the next 2 months of that happening, guys. So the autumnal month of September is brought to us by the Moon and Six of Pentacles. The Moon, aka Britney Spears, asks us to work through any confusion with the help of the Moon's light and intuition in order to clear space and create balance for the good life, aka the Six of Pentacles, starring Miss J.K. Rowling. So I don't know if any of you have already started to experience the energies of September's cards yet, but I definitely have in the work front in terms of seeking clarity in situations which have started to clear up some space for stagnant and negative energies to exit with the summer heat and allow space for the crisp autumnal, couldn't help myself kids, breeze of September to bring in some positive new energy and hopefully lots of pentacles to spend, save, and share in homage to our other card of the month, Six of Pentacles. For more in-depth info on September's cards, you can go back to episode 6 of the podcast. So, before we go on to this week's guest, let's start with the cards of the week. Okay. Okay, Four of Cups. So the OG card of Four of Cups shows a young man with three cups in front of him with a cup coming down from a cloud in the sky, and he appears to be completely disinterested in this offer. So in the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this is Kim Cattrall looking fierce. I sketched this from the cover of her book Sexual Intelligence, and she's sitting amongst three cups and firmly declining a fourth that's being offered to her. Now what I love about Kim Cattrall is she owns her decisions, whether we agree with them or not. She has firmly declined the offer to make a third Sex in the City film multiple times, and she stands by her choice. Though I, of all people, wanted this third movie to happen, I do appreciate Kim's resolve in knowing this just wasn't right for her. The Four of Cups can sometimes be interpreted as a missed opportunity or apathy. I, however, look at this card as, that which is for you cannot go by you. Therefore, if you missed it and it's meant to be, whether it's a relationship, a job, or just a pair of shoes that sold out in your size, it'll come back around if it's meant for you. And if it wasn't for your highest self, be grateful for that cosmic miss. Whenever I do the live polls, I try to look at what's going on astrologically and with the moon cycle because that often helps further clarify the message of the card. And today is the new moon in Virgo, going into the waxing moon cycle this week with the quarter moon in Sag next Sunday moving towards the harvest full moon. This period that we're in, new moon going into the waxing, is really asking us to be okay with change. Change is essential in nature. It's essential to create the life we're seeking and allow ourselves to reap the harvest. The funny thing, though, is that most humans are so resistant to change. Even when we crave it, when it actually appears, we're like, oh, wait, give me back that familiar routine I know. So with the Four of Cups, embrace the change that's coming up this week. Is change for you saying no to something you'd normally force yourself to say yes to? Is it staying in to recharge and take care of yourself when you'd normally go out with friends just to make them happy? Is it saying no to an offer that's almost but not quite right, and your instinct is telling you to hold space for something bigger and better? Listen to that voice and decline what's not for your best. Picture Kim Cattrall whispering to you in her sexiest Samantha Jones voice, that which is for you cannot go by you, honey. If it's meant to be, it will be, at the right time. So it's okay to say, that don't impress me much. With that, I'm so excited to introduce this week's guest who's found her wellness and spiritual path at exactly the right time, holistic health and beauty blogger Nadine of wellness blog Natural Nadine. Hey Nadine, I'm so excited you're here.
Thanks, I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my god, I'm so in love with your blog. And when I first checked it out, I like automatically went to the about section. And I love that you closed it with a quote from Dalai Lama. Man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money, then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he's never going to die and then dies never having really lived. And that's so beautiful and relevant. Is that kind of the reason that you started your blog? What inspired you to start Natural Nadine?
So, great question. The reason why I started it is because my health took a turn for the worst. I wouldn't say the worst, but it really did take a turn. I wasn't living optimally. And I just, when that happened, I realized I was doing too much. I was working too hard. I was in a really stressful, high pressure sales job at one of the most high pressure technology firms in the industry. It was a Fortune company that was public, or that is still public. And my lifestyle wasn't the best either. So I was eating out all the time, and I was going out, and I don't think I was doing it excessively, but I thought I was doing just the normal amount that I've been used to in my 20s, my early 20s, even before coming to New York. So things just kind of took a turn for the worst.
So what was the, I guess, because I obviously I follow your blog and all of your social media, and I know that you post largely about diet and beauty. What kind of was aside from like your inspiration, which we just talked about, what was kind of the entryway, the first thing that you changed in your life? Was it diet? Was it like products that you use? Was it meditation or other wellness practices? I know they all kind of like leads to another, but what was the first kind of entryway for you?
So when 2013, when my health just took a downturn, what I changed were my self-care products and my diet. So that's because my skin just shifted on me completely. Like, I was getting dark spots all over my back. I was getting like, I had chicken skin on my arms, you know, like chicken-like skin.
Yeah, yeah.
I was having atopic dermatitis on my hands. It was like red rashes. My fingers were swollen. Yeah. I was getting also rashes on my neck and my back. Like, I had no idea what the hell was going on, and it freaked me out, especially because like my dad passed away of cancer, my mom had cancer, my mom also had a brain aneurysm like a few months before too.
Oh
yeah. So that was like a lot of stress, and the first thing I did was like, okay, well, let me throw away literally all my products, like every single product that was toxic, because I did so much research, like what are safe ingredients to have in your self-care products. Like, I threw out literally all my makeup. I threw out like shampoo, just like hair care things, and I replaced everything. And the second was diet. So I was just trying to eat like more fruit, and you know, I experimented with a lot of different diets. Like, I was going vegan, and so that's the first thing. And then I slowly started to get back into meditation because I hadn't been practicing that often. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So what would you recommend for people that are kind of, I guess, starting out that journey? Because I know a lot of times it's overwhelming.
I did a lot of A-B testing, so I really didn't know. Like, at the time in 2013, I was still eating gluten, not knowing that it was causing so much inflammation in my body. It wasn't helping like the skin issues I was having and the brain fog and the really bad fatigue. It wasn't helping that at all. So I, you know, it was just a lot of like process of elimination. Like, it wasn't until like a year later, after I had all these bad symptoms, that I went gluten-free in 2015. I've been gluten-free ever since. And even since that time, in between that time from 2013, to now, actually, I'm still doing like A-B testing. So, but if someone is experiencing these symptoms, the first thing I would recommend is to, number one, change your products, because obviously it's showing that you have sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. And you really shouldn't be using chemicals or ingredients that are going to irritate it. Number two, change your diet. So really have like a low inflammation diet, like eating foods that don't cause inflammation, like corn. Most corn, unfortunately, is GMO, genetically modified.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if it says it's organic, who knows if that's the truth, but corn has been known to cause inflammation of the body. Cut out gluten, cut out dairy, cut out refined sugars, like sugar from a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, possibly even nightshade vegetables too.
That's amazing. And that's all of kind of the steps that I took when I turned my diet around, and I could tell a difference like in energy level and my skin and everything. So one of the other things I was just going to say that you taught me quickly in the short time that we met is you introduced me to celery juice, which I didn't even know was a thing. Like, I'm a big juice fan, and I, you know, go to a lot of like Juice Press and a lot of other stores in New York to get kind of different juices, but I've never done celery. And I was telling you about like some skin issues I was having, and you recommended it, and I noticed a huge difference in just like the week that you recommended it.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So what is, first of all, what does that do, and why was it so helpful? And then do you have any other like kind of quick tips that were are kind of universally applicable, because that was one that I was like, oh my god, that was so easy and such a fast thing to add into my daily routine.
Totally, yeah. So celery juice is extremely, extremely powerful. It really is. And I discovered it because of Medical Medium. Have you heard of
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I follow on Instagram. Yeah.
So Anthony William, he's known as a Medical Medium. I was introduced to him by a healthcare practitioner, and then friends started to introduce me to him again as well. And so I said to myself, okay, I really need to check him out. And I read his book. I have all three of his books. He's coming out with another one in October. It's all about the skin and, you know, why people have eczema, psoriasis, acne, and all that.
Yeah.
So he really taught me about celery juice. And now almost a lot of people in wellness are doing it. And I'm really glad it's helped you, but it does clear skin. And it just, it helps not only with skin issues, it also builds up the hydrochloric acid in your stomach that we've been depleted of, unfortunately, because of the processed food we've been eating over the years in the United States. I mean, I think in, you know, other countries, it's a different story. It's not as highly processed as in the US. This is why in the United States, we have so many autoimmune diseases than any other country. So the celery juice helps with so many things. Like, when my friends ever tell me, like, oh, I feel bloated, or I'm breaking out, or, you know, I've gained so much weight, and because I was eating poorly, I tell them, you got to do the celery juice in the morning on an empty stomach, because it'll build up your hydrochloric acid, so your digestion will improve a lot. It helps de-bloat you. It does clear your skin, because it's helping rid toxins out of your body, and there's, you know, there's four major organs that detox your body. It's your kidney, your liver, your lung, and your colon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it'll help with that process of elimination. And it's, you have to have only celery juice as well. Don't mix it with anything else. Just have at least 16 ounces of celery juice in the morning.
Yeah. Cause when you told me that, I had had it mixed in, cause I would often do like custom mixed blends of juices when I go. And I was like, I don't know. And it tastes way better than you would think.
Yeah, it does.
I was like, oh, okay, this is actually better than I expected. Yeah.
And you need to, if you can't tolerate 16 ounces straight away, because you know, your body has to eliminate, you know, toxins from your system, at least start with like 2-3 and then build up to 16. Like, go slow, because I'll tell you, like, this might be TMI, but the first day I did it, because I've been doing celery juice for a while, but I wasn't doing it in the morning. Like, I'd be like, oh, let me have my heavy metal detox smoothie, and then I'll wait a while, and then I feel hungry, and I'm like, okay, then I'll have the celery juice. But when I had it in the morning, like, I was like eliminating. I was kind of like, oh my god, do I have IBS or something? Like, that's what I thought to myself. But then it was just,
but then
my
you
body.
Feel better. Yeah.
Yeah. It was my body
like
eliminating.
You're purging things that, like you're saying, toxins that you don't need. Absolutely.
But after that first day, I was fine. I was like, okay, let me try this again tomorrow. And I was fine. So
thank goodness. Yeah. No, that was, thank you for that. Cause that was a super helpful tip.
But yeah, it will clear skin issues too. So if you're breaking out, it'll help with eczema and psoriasis. It's because that's related to your liver. So that means your liver needs help detoxing, and that, and celery juice will aid in that.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, in addition to your, it's funny because I just got introduced to your blog recently, and I was kind of going back through a lot of different posts, and I found so many of them really inspirational. And I love your whole story of like how you started it and just like how you've drastically changed your life in a short period of time. And one of the things why I highly recommend, the Natural Nadine is that it's, like I said, it's in addition to diet and beauty, which I think the reason I was drawn to that is because that's not my expertise. So I always like, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, you teach me so much about that. But you also go into some of your practices with crystals, which is funny because we met through Joey Healy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an overlap area because my like kind of chosen healing modality is tarot. And Joey now introduced a candle with that's crystal, like, you know, has a crystal for meditation. And then when I was going back and further blog posts of yours, I learned that you also practice with crystals. So how did that kind of get involved in your wellness practices?
That's a good question. So I've always had an affinity to crystals. And when I was younger, I used to collect them, especially like obsidians and like black stones, not knowing at the time that it was crystals, right? Because people around me, like my family and like family friends or friends, like I was what, like 10, 11 years old, even younger.
Yeah.
So no one really educated me on like, oh, these are powerful and they have energy and so you work with them, right? So I actually got into crystals in 2014. Like, literally since 2013, I've been on this like spiritual journey and had so many spiritual awakenings, and like I'm constantly transforming my life. So in 2014, I forget what happened, but or how it came about, but one of my friends, she told me that she started working with crystals again, and I was like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And then we started talking about it, and then I just started researching more, and I'm like, you know what, I want to buy crystals. And oh yeah, and that's right, and I had another friend at the time who was seeing like a crystal healer as well.
Oh, so she, that's so cool.
Yeah, so she was telling me about that experience, and so she would recommend, oh, go to Crystal Rock on 26th Street, actually.
Oh,
so
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's right on my Rockstar Crystal.
Oh, Rockstar,
yes,
yeah.
I always
yeah.
get that, yes.
Rockstar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yes, it's yeah. right around the corner
so
from
she,
me.
So
yes.
she recommended going there because they're pretty, you know, they're reasonably priced and everything. So that's when I started to get into them and, you know, just to, like, try to attract love or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah, like 4 years ago. But since then, I've been working with them and just really understanding more on how energetically they can help you and heal in so many different ways, and you know, make sure you're attracting the things in your sphere,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. And then I discovered Namaste Bookstore, and that's, I got into it a lot more and just started making friends there.
Yeah,
and then more
love,
friends were
yes.
into it. So
I love Namaste.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you said that you first discovered it around like 10, 11, because I find that it must be like, I don't know, it's a powerful age, because that's what, when I first discovered tarot, I was 11 years old. I remember when I first got my first deck and was teaching myself to read. And one of my best friends, her daughter is now starting to learn the Wild Unknown, like animal oracle deck. And it's like when you said that it was something you were drawn to at that age, and like I kind of abandoned it for a while and then in my adulthood came back to it. And I think it's something you almost like know about yourself at that age, and then you reconnect with it even if you kind of take a different path for a while.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I remember, and like thinking about like the journey I've been on the past few years and the things that I was into when I was younger and like what I would think about, like when I was always into like healthy eating and nutrition. Like I was a competitive gymnast for 8 years. I always ate healthy. Like I was always telling my parents when they would go grocery shopping, like, can you please buy fruit? Can
That's
you
awesome.
Please buy these fruits? Can you please buy these vegetables? Like I could eat any single fruit or vegetable. Like it didn't matter. So I'm really thankful that my parents exposed me to that, but I loved it, you know?
Yeah.
And I also just, I always knew when I was younger too, like, I was going to be in a health related field. Like I thought about going to medical school. I thought about being a doctor,
oh,
especially,
wow.
yeah, especially like, you know, losing my dad to cancer.
Yeah.
I'm like, there has to be a cure. Like I want to find a cure. But then, you know, it's not the right path. Like conventional medicine isn't for me just because I'm more into alternative medicine,
yeah.
or integrative. Like I'll still incorporate conventional medicine, like testing and practices. But for the most part, I'm very into like homeopathic or in alternative methods of
well,
treatment.
I love that you do, like when you were saying you will do kind of Western medicine testing, and I love the fusion of the two. And I've talked to some people recently that I met a Reiki a practitioner that's working with hospice, and the fact that hospice is now even open to things that like Reiki energy healing. And I think that kind of that there's less of a it's one road or the other is really comforting to hear, that like, you know, that there is kind of a fusion. And I'm definitely more alternative and like, you know, if anything, Eastern medicine as well. But I like that there is it's not so polarizing one or the other anymore, and people are kind of open to both.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear that too.
Yeah.
Because my dad was in hospice care as well, so I saw like what went on, and there were no like, you know, alternative methods of like healing or helping someone make that transition right from life, from like leaving their body in
yeah.
this lifetime. So
yeah.
I mean, my dad did smoke marijuana because that helped, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I find out later from my uncle that my dad used to grow weed in the Philippines on the roof.
That's amazing.
And this was during the time when the president had a curfew.
Oh my
God. So like no drinking and like no smoking, and you had a curfew. Like he would have gone
badass.
Yeah, he would have gone to jail if he got caught.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. But I mean, even when my dad was like in the later stages of his life, like he ended up stopping chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Because it was really hard on his body. He would throw up. And I remember like seeing him like carrying a backpack of chemotherapy, you know? And he would like throw up, and he was so sick. And like I remember they got a second opinion. My mom and him went to UCSF, which is like a pretty legitimate major hospital in California, especially northern, in the U.S. actually.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, you know what, you have 2 months to live. And then he lied to my mom and said, oh, you know, Dr. Deck said that I could get off the chemotherapy. And she goes, oh, okay, why? He was like, oh, I'm doing a lot better. He ended up living longer than 2 months.
That's
because
amazing.
He got off of it. Yeah. But he was trying to, like, you know, doing the alternative things. He was doing research. He was, like, researching, like, the Gerson therapy and stuff, which, yeah. you know, it didn't work. But I think it prolonged his life a little more, you know, yeah. to spend time with us. And, like, we were doing juicing at the time. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. One of the questions I had for you, too, that I forgot that just came up is that I think that a lot of people, when we were talking about, like, Eastern and Western and alternative healing, like, a lot of people that are having health problems and feel overwhelmed, but they're kind of seeking something different, it can be really terrifying. So what tips do you have for, like, starting that journey?
It is really hard. It is, because it was seriously a journey for me. Like, I mean, it all started with getting exposed to toxic levels of black mold in 2012 when I first moved to New York. We were researching and we came to the conclusion, holy shit, we have black mold in our apartment. We told our landlord, they tested it. Lo and behold, toxic levels of black mold.
Oh my God.
So,
that's terrifying.
Yeah. So,
and that's terrifying because not everyone would be that aware or do the research that you guys were willing to do and look into it. A lot of people would just be like, oh, it's fine, especially in a lot of New York apartments.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Like, it just didn't feel right. And then I had to seek out help from friends and family and, like, ask them, like, who do you know? Who could help me? Like, should I see a naturopath? So my friends really helped guide me. If you're looking to, like, to seek out alternative treatments, first of all, don't give up and just try to get as many referrals as you can and, like, get consultations with these alternative healthcare practitioners, and make sure to just to try to feel out the one that's going to be right for you. And get recommendations. So ask people that who you trust and who have had that experience. I mean, for instance, this homeopathic doctor that I'm working with, I just started working with him on Thursday. I trust that this is a good source because I got this recommendation from the owner of a health food store, Live Organic in the East Village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, look, I've been having these, like, mystery symptoms. And he said, okay, well, I was like, do you know anyone? He goes, you know, there's someone I know. And he actually, you know, told me a case study. Like, I had this cough. It wasn't going away. Obviously, he's super healthy, right? He owns, like, a health food store that carries some of the most highest quality products. And it wasn't going away. And then he saw this homeopathic doctor, and it slowly went away. I even looked on his site, and there's people who have been saying on his site, like, he helped me get rid of my eczema after I've had it for, like, over two decades and things like that. And
yeah.
So, I would say that would be it. And then I also wrote a blog post, too, about how to know when to stop working with a healthcare practitioner.
Oh, yeah. That was recent. I just read that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I honestly feel like I was treated like an ATM. They just wanted my money. They didn't really care. I just had a bad feeling about it, but I didn't listen to my intuition because I was so desperate for a change. I was so desperate to feel better like I did before the black mold experience happened, or even before that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do talk about, like, the signs to look out for, because I think it's really important, especially if you're desperate and you just need help.
Yeah, well, I think
even
that,
with,
like,
regular doctors.
Well, and I think with all forms of healers, there are amazing practitioners that do so much good, but I do think, like, also with, like, you know, mental health healing, whether it's traditional or alternative, I've had that same experience. Mm-hmm. Where when you said you feel like an ATM, I'm like, oh my God, I've been there. So I think that, like, the most powerful advice that you gave regarding that is trust your intuition, like, because if you've ever felt it and ignored it, you know what it's like to be like, I actually knew that.
Yeah.
And when you click with somebody, like you said, you got an awesome referral, and then when you actually meet with that practitioner and you click with them, it's almost like a confirmation of, like, okay, this is, like, someone I want to work with.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome advice.
Yeah. And I know it's like people always want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's like, once you got to listen to that first instinct.
Yeah.
You really, really have to.
No, totally. We're actually almost at the end of the half hour, but before you go, because I ask everyone this because it is a tarot podcast, mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite tarot card in the deck?
Probably the one with the hearts, right? The love one.
Okay. Right? That's from, that's so funny. That's, yes, from Lenormand, which are like the oracle cards. In tarot, there's not like a heart specific card except for a three of swords often has the heart, but that's not a, it's not a happy card. But in the Lenormand deck, that's good. The heart is like love. Yes.
I need to check out that deck too.
Yeah.
Oh, after, after hearing the podcast, I'm like, oh my God, I should totally get that deck. Cause I have angel cards.
Yeah.
But I haven't used them in like over a
year.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. I think it's 38 instead of 78. It's like half the amount of tarot card, like that tarot cards are. And it's more similar to oracle cards. So yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. There's so much good information in there. And I'm going to post the Natural Nadine blog in the podcast notes and your Instagram as well. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I'm going to actually, so you can actually read the master list of all the products that I use that are going to be on my blog as well. So from makeup to like personal care products to shampoo, like the master list is going to be there.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I absolutely love talking with Nadine tonight. I loved hearing about all of the healing modalities she works with. I always think it's interesting. I mean, obviously my expertise is tarot, but I always think it's amazing to speak to people who work with different healing modalities. And she's got such an interesting background from health, wellness, beauty, diet. Definitely check her out at naturalnadine.com and on Instagram at thenaturalnadine. Before we head out, I got a great response to the Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet segment. We have a great one messaged in from Mary Jules, a listener in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for repping my northern hometown, Mary J. So Mary Jules wrote, oh my God, your sage story was hilarious and more common than you think. Mine is also a failed spiritual coming out attempt. I was smudging my cubicle with Palo Santo before work, thinking all my coworkers weren't arriving for at least another 20 minutes. My boss came in early and asked if I had lit my pencil on fire. I awkwardly said yes and proceeded to dramatically throw it into my iced coffee, ruining both my morning latte and an entire stick of Palo Santo. Oh, Mary Jules, I hope it wasn't a pumpkin iced latte. I do love you for putting the effort into smudging your workspace, and I love your spiritual coming out of the closet story so much that we're going to send you a free Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardsy B deck when they're printed. Hit us up with your address and we'll mail it out ASAP. Please keep the stories coming, you guys. You can message them in to @CardsyB on Instagram. So to quickly recap, the month of September is brought to us by Brittany the Moon and Six of Pentacles, aka JK Rowling. This week's message is Four of Cups. This week an offer you feel conflicted about is likely to come up. Whether big or small, if it's not in your best interest and you know it, no matter how shiny it may seem, it's okay to say no. If it's meant to be, it'll come back when you're fully ready to receive it. Don't forget to check out Cardsy B on Instagram, and if you haven't, please rate and review this podcast if you get a sec. Also for New Yorkers, starting September 16th, I'll be reading during Sunday lunches at the Green Pear Cafe, as well as September 30th at the L Girl Party. I also have an exciting collaboration with Rise Gatherings to announce very soon. Thanks so much for listening, and stay magical AF.